Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're tuned into Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are here representing the Red Cross of Alaska. Hello, everyone. I would like you to please introduce yourselves individually, beginning with Nicole.
Hi there. I am Nikki DeNovo. I am a Jesuit volunteer and AmeriCorps member at the Red Cross, and my position here is the casework and preparedness specialist. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for being here. Next, Britta.
Hi, everyone. I'm Britta Tonneson. I'm the new disaster program manager for the Red Cross of Alaska in Southeast Alaska.
And last but not least, Sudi.
Hi, this is Sudi Hargis, and I'm a volunteer with the Red Cross for about the last 3 or 4 years pretty actively, and I'm currently the volunteer partner for Britta, which means I help her with working through the program here throughout Southeast Alaska.
And Sudi, I just want to follow up with a quick question about how many volunteers do you have here in Southeast?
We have about 88 volunteers here in Southeast, and we would love to have more people join the team. We have a very small number of people who are active volunteers at any given time, and we'd love to have more folks be active with the Red Cross because we're here to serve the communities.
That's an impressive number. Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining me today. You're here to talk about the Great Alaskan Shakeout. But before we get to that, I thought I would just check in with each of you about what this year has been like at the Red Cross. And Britta, well, let's start with you since you're relatively new.
Sure. So I started in April, which was just shortly after the Red Cross went into kind of the red of our matrix for COVID response, which means the office is shut down, but we remained in service to alleviate and prevent suffering in the event of home disasters, like home fires or natural disasters. It's just looked differently, and our volunteers and staff has had to adapt to the changing of operations, including responding virtually and some of the trickiness around that. But we have still been able to respond and alleviate suffering, and even have been in person in some of the natural disasters happening down south. So we're still moving along.
And Britta, sticking with you, just I know you were down south dealing with fires. Do you want to talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, actually, Nikki and I both went down south for our first deployment. It was really an honor to be able to go and be part of that and to serve people in that time of need. And so traditionally, the Red Cross might open congregate sheltering, and to the best extent that we have in our power, we are putting people up in non-congregate sheltering, which has impacted our funding. So if anybody has an ability to support in funding, please help. And I got to learn about sheltering, Nikki did as well, and then we got to learn kind of in the transition process. So there's preparation, then there's response, and then there's recovery. So there was kind of a transition process where people had just enough time to get settled into sheltering, get food, have their basic needs taken care of, that they could then start to think about what are those next steps in returning home. And that looked very different. I was in a couple different communities, and in one community that meant people who had to accommodate their large animals because they were ranchers, and in another community that meant people with housing that they weren't going to go home to, and the other things that come along with, I'm trying to think of that community. It had been the third evacuation for them in a year. So there was a lot of just kind of extended trauma and unknown certainties around their living situation.
Well, that sounds like a really intense experience for everyone involved. Thanks for sharing that. Nikki, maybe you'd like to follow up on Britta's answer there, if you were down south as well, and maybe speak to a little bit about what it's been like for you this year working at the Red Cross.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just started here at the Red Cross in Juneau in August, and then about, I think, 2 weeks later, I was deployed out to Northern California as well. And I also was in a non-congregate shelter for about a week and doing similar things, just you know, making sure everyone had food and water and they were comfortable in the non-congregate shelters. And then the next week I was in a LAC, so a assistance center, just making sure people got the resources that they were seeking.
What is a non-congregate shelter?
It's basically, so in a disaster during non-COVID times, people would be basically in one large shelter altogether, like, you know, beds right next to each other, everyone in one room. And that's a congregate shelter. So a non-congregate shelter would be like a hotel, for example. Mm. So people are more separated.
Got it. Thanks. And Sudhi, how about you? You've been a volunteer at the Red Cross for a while now. What was different or unique about your experience this year?
Well, as Britta came in, we worked to strengthen our disaster action teams here in Southeast. We had some teams going, and we've been really working on getting folks trained into those roles so that we have more of our volunteers who are ready to serve in the Juneau communities. We've had about 8 cases this year. I'm currently the disaster action team coordinator. So we make sure our folks are trained up. And so what it meant is that we have deployed almost a half a dozen folks out of Southeast Alaska down to the fires. But then the folks who are here are also picking up kind of the load here in Southeast to make sure that we don't ignore our Southeast communities and are here ready to serve folks. So, for example, I didn't deploy in person because I'm here trying to help fill the gaps and hold the program together.
It sounds like some of your priorities and normal annual activities and events may have shifted somewhat this year as compared to a quote-unquote normal year. Would you say that's accurate, Sudhi?
Yes, definitely. We still preparedness is a huge focus for us. We really want the Juneau and the Southeast communities and members to be prepared for disasters. And we do a lot of disaster preparedness in non-COVID times, and just the tempo right now of between COVID and the fires and disasters down south has kind of lessened that focus a little bit for now, or we're doing it in different ways, partnering with fire departments. We're starting to partner with them to have them put up smoke alarms and things like that, and work with us to be able to get into folks' homes to do that safely. And so some of that we're working differently, but our response to helping the Juneau and Southeast residents with disasters has not changed really at all. The only difference is sometimes we don't show up at your house and put our arm around you or stand next to you when your house is on fire. You know, we may be able to do that. And sometimes we call you on the phone and bring you some financial assistance if we can offer that. We may come to a hotel where you are or a friend's house where you are and bring you that that assistance over there as opposed to being able to be with you the whole time. Mm.
And as you mentioned, your over the years, your focus is on preparedness. Was any part of that preparedness ever focused on pandemic preparedness?
The nurses focus on pandemic preparedness. They work with public health, and they actually, for example, there's a flu pod, which is happening on the 24th of this month, that mm-hmm. public health is working with and the Red Cross is helping support. And that is actually Red Cross nurses help support that. We were started, I guess it's Clara Barton, started us out as a nurse. And so we have a strong nursing tradition, and we do have nurses who are here in the Juneau community and will be helping with that. So yes, that's preparing public health folks to be able to serve in a pandemic.
That's a great example. Thank you so much. So what you all are really here to talk about today is the Great Alaskan Shakeout, an earthquake drill happening statewide on October 15th. That's tomorrow, 10:15 a.m. Would one of you like to give me a little background and overview of what the Great Alaskan Shakeout is?
Yeah, definitely. So the Great Alaskan Shakeout is the state's largest earthquake drill. During this drill, it's basically just a time to take 1 minute out of your day and practice how to prepare yourself and really just recognize what would happen if there were to be an earthquake where you are. And it is important to note that Alaska does have more earthquakes than any other state, and no one can predict when one's coming. So it's really just a great opportunity to take note of what you would do if there was an earthquake.
Do you have any procedures you'd like to review with us today about, for example, what do you do if you're indoors when an earthquake hits?
Yeah, definitely. So if there is like something, for example, like a desk or a table, the best thing is to get under it, and hold on, protect your head. And then, sort of prior to an earthquake, what we recommend is doing a hazard hunt for items that might fall on you during an earthquake, and securing them. So, for example, if there's something heavy above your bed, to either move it or to secure it to make sure it can't fall. Also, to create a personal disaster plan or to also organize your emergency kit. Yeah.
And can I ask, what would the procedure be if you weren't inside, but you were outside, or say maybe in your car?
So if you're in your car, it's recommended to pull over and pull your emergency brake, barring you're not like on a bridge. So it's recommended to not pull over on a bridge, or any kind of structure that might fall. And then if you're just like by your like outside just walking, it's recommended to sort of stay away from any kind of wiring or poles or anything like large trees that have a chance of falling.
This might sound like a silly question, but is there anything you can do to prepare for the safety of your pets? I think cats and dogs probably know what to do. Outside animals probably know what to do. Birds, anything that lives in an aquarium. Any tips there?
I think it would be, pretty similar to like what you're doing yourself. Just like have your pet with you if they respond well to like you holding them, like if you're under the table, like holding on. Yeah.
Britta or Sudie, anything to add?
This
Yeah.
is
Go for it, Sudie.
This is Sudi. I would just say preparing. So having your go kit, thinking about if this were to happen in Juneau, and that would include for your pets, if you have any kind of necessary paperwork for them, having some food and supplies, critical supplies like maybe a leash, things like that, that are in your go kit. For example, I have a tub right next to my front door that has some things that I can grab if I need to go out and leave my home in an emergency. So being ready to go, whether it's an earthquake or a fire or anything like that. Britta?
Yeah, just a couple fill in the gaps was the if you are outside by the ocean, which many of us are in Alaska, is to get up to higher ground because tsunamis can be triggered by earthquakes. And so I was reading that one suggestion is if possible, don't go in your car because there could be traffic jams if it's that level of earthquake or panic. And so being on foot could be helpful. If you are in a boat, I believe you should be going out into the water and away from the shore. But there's lots of resources. So you can check the Red Cross website and you can get in contact with us as well. And then the other thing around the pandemic is many of us have been prepared, some of us less than others, but the pandemic has changed things. And so making sure you have the proper PPE in your kit, which might not have been there before. And then in terms of your family response afterwards, thinking about what that's going to look like and taking COVID precautions for your response and your emergency plan that you may or may not have in place already.
Those are great tips, and that's a lot of things that I did not really think about or even think to ask about. So thank you for all of that information. Britta, I'm going to stay with you, but if you don't know the answer, it's okay. Could Juneau experience an earthquake of the same magnitude as the ones that have hit Anchorage, for example?
Oh, geez, I don't know that answer. Sudie, do you know?
Yes, we absolutely could. We are on a fault line. There is a fault line that runs right through Juneau, and it's not as likely. We're not as active a zone, but earthquakes are one of those things that they haven't been able to fully predict the size and location. So, you know, we often think, oh, we'll get a smaller one here, but it's certainly possible. So.
And one other afterside that we might have here with an earthquake is a landslide.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you all so much for speaking with me today about the Great Alaskan Shakeout. Again, it's tomorrow, 10:15. It's 1 minute long. Nikki, how can we participate?
You can participate by, you know, when 10:15 comes along, do the drill and think about it. And, invite your friends or family to participate as well and help inform them. Inform yourself.
If you want to take a video, you can take a video and send it to us. And if you give permission, we can post it, which would be fun to show Alaskans participating.
That does sound like fun. And where can we find out more information about Red Cross of Alaska or the Great Alaskan Shakeout? Any one of you can answer.
Yeah, the Great Alaskan Shakeout, they have their own website. I believe it's shakeout.com. And then Red Cross as well has lots of information on their website.
Sudi, Britta, and Nikki, thank you so much for speaking with me today about this. It was great to check in with the Red Cross of Alaska, and it's always great to think about emergency and disaster preparedness, and also especially great to have these COVID-related updates as it pertains to disaster preparedness and earthquake preparedness. So thank you so much for sharing all that. Is there anything that anybody would like to add before we say goodbye? Sudi, I'll check in with you first.
I think just be ready for something to happen, and please consider coming and joining us or donating to the Red Cross. That money goes directly to folks here in Alaska, and that's about it. Yeah.
Nikki, anything else?
Be safe.
Oh, thank you. Anything else from you, Nikki?
Yeah, just what Sudi's saying, just get thinking, be prepared.
Britta, you get the last word.
Just thank you for your time. We look forward to being part of this community. Juno, the main office for Southeast, is located here, but we serve from Ketchikan up to Yakutat. And so we hope to support and respond to any situation happening in those communities. So if you're of that community and you're listening, please reach out and know that we are here for you. And if anybody's interested in deploying, please let us know. That would be virtually or in person. We could talk about what that could look like, and you could sign up or any other volunteer opportunities. Please reach out. We're here for you.
And I know you guys have a website. Britta, do you have a phone number for Red Cross as well?
Yeah, it's 907-268-6015. That's my office line.
Great. Well, thanks again, everybody, for speaking with me today, and have a great time at the shakeout tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Shelly.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.